Chapter 5, Beyond the Comfort Zone. Drastic change creates an estrangement from the self and generates a need for a new birth of a new identity. And it perhaps depends on the way this need is satisfied, whether the process of change runs smoothly or is attended with convulsions and explosions. Eric Hoffer, The Temper of Our Time. Every adolescent business reaches a point where it pushes beyond its owner's comfort zone, the boundary within which he feels secure in his ability to control his environment, and outside of which he begins to lose that control. The technician's boundary is determined by how much he can do himself. The manager's is defined by how many technicians he can supervise effectively, or how many subordinate managers he can organize into a productive effort. The entrepreneur's boundary is a function of how many managers he can engage in pursuit of his vision. As a business grows, it invariably exceeds its owner's ability to control it, to touch, feel, and see the work that needs to be done, and to inspect its progress personally, as every technician needs to do. Out of desperation, he does what he knows how to do rather than what he doesn't, thereby abdicating his role as manager and passing his accountability down to someone else, a Harry. At that point, his desperation turns into hope. He hopes that Harry will handle it so that he won't have to worry about it anymore. But Harry has needs of his own. Harry's also a technician. He needs more direction than the technician can give him. He needs to know why he's doing what he's doing. He needs to know the result he's accountable for and the standards against which his work is being evaluated. He also needs to know where the business is going and where his accountabilities fit into its overall strategy. To produce effectively, Harry needs something the technician-turned-business owner isn't capable of giving him, a manager. And the lack of one causes the business to go into a tailspin. And as the business grows beyond the owner's comfort zone, as the tailspin accelerates, there are only three courses of action to be taken, only three ways the business can turn. It can return to infancy, it can go for broke, or it can hang on for dear life. Let's take a look at each. Getting small again. One of the most consistent and predictable reactions of the technician-turned-business owner to adolescent chaos is the decision to get small again. If you can't control the chaos, get rid of it. Go back to the way it used to be when you did everything yourself, when you didn't have people to worry about, or too many customers, or too many unpayable payables and unreceivable receivables, or too much inventory. In short, go back to the time when business was simple, back to infancy, when the business was you. And thousands upon thousands of technicians do just that. They get rid of their people, get rid of their inventory, wrap up their payables in a large bag, rent a smaller facility, put the machine in the middle, put the telephone by the machine, and go back to doing it all by themselves again. They go back to being the owner, sole proprietor, chief cook, and bottle washer, doing everything that needs to be done, all alone, but comfortable with the feeling of regained control. What can go wrong, they think to themselves, forgetting at once that they've been there before. Predictably, this too takes its toll. One morning, it could be 6 weeks or 6 years following the day you got small again, and the inevitable happens. You wake up in bed, and your spouse turns to you and says, "What's wrong? You're not looking too good." "I'm not feeling too good," you answer. "Do you want to talk about it?" he or she asks. "It's simple," you say. "I don't want to go in there anymore." Then your spouse asks you the obvious question. But if you don't, who will? And all of a sudden, you're struck with the reality of your condition. You realize something you've avoided all these years. You come face to face with the unavoidable truth. You don't own a business. You own a job. What's more, it's become the worst job in the world. You can't close it when you want to, because if it's closed, you don't get paid. You can't leave it when you want to, because when you leave, there's nobody there to do the work. You can't sell it when you want to, because who wants to buy a job? At that point, you feel the despair and the cynicism almost every small business owner gets to feel. If there was ever a dream, however small, it's gone. And with it, any desire to keep busy, busy, busy. You don't wash the windows anymore. You don't sweep the floors. The customers become a problem rather than an opportunity. Because if somebody buys something, you're going to have to do the work. Your standards of dress begin to deteriorate. The sign in the front door fades and peels, and you don't care. For when the dream is gone, the only thing left is work, the tyranny of routine, the day-to-day grind of purposeless activity. Finally, you close the doors. There's nothing to keep you there anymore. According to the Small Business Administration, more than 400,000 such businesses close their doors in the United States every year. And it's understandable. Your business, once the shining promise of your life, and now no promise at all, has gradually become a mortuary for dead dreams. Going for broke. The adolescent business has another alternative that's certainly less painful and decidedly more dramatic than getting small. It can just keep growing faster and faster until finally it self-destructs of its own momentum. The roll call is endless. Countless millions of businesses, all such going-for-broke companies, were started with an entrepreneurial seizure by a technician who focused on the wrong end of the business, the commodity the business made, rather than the business itself. Going-for-broke businesses are a sign of our time. They are a high-tech phenomenon. With the explosion of new technology and the numbers of those who create it, a whole new breed of technicians has flocked to the business arena. Along with these wizards and their seemingly unlimited technical virtuosity, an avalanche of new products has thundered through the wide-open doors of an enthralled and receptive marketplace. Unfortunately, most of these companies barely get through the doors before the uncontrollable momentum that got them there forces them to stumble and then fail. All the excesses of adolescence, frustrating and bewildering as they might be in a normally expanding company, are disastrous in a going-for-broke business. As quickly as it grows, chaos grows even faster. For tied to the tail of a technological breakthrough, the technician and his people rarely break free long enough to gain some perspective about their condition. The demand for the commodity of which they're so proud quickly exceeds their chronically adolescent ability to produce it. The result is almost always catastrophic. The business explodes, leaving behind it people who most often justify the explosion as an inevitable consequence of doing business on a fast track where luck and speed and a brilliant bit of technological daring-do are the necessary components for making it big. The reality is otherwise. Luck and speed and brilliant technology have never been enough, because somebody is always luckier, faster, and technologically brighter. Unfortunately, once on a fast track, there's precious little time to listen. The race is won by reflex, a stroke of genius, or a stroke of luck. Going for broke is the high-tech equivalent of Russian roulette, oftentimes played by people who don't even know the gun is loaded. Adolescent survival. The most tragic possibility of all for an adolescent business is that it actually survives. You're an incredibly strong-willed, stubborn, single-minded individual who's determined not to be beaten. You go into your business every morning with a vengeance, absolutely convinced that it's a jungle out there and fully committed to doing whatever's necessary to survive. And you do survive. Kicking and scratching, beating up your people and your customers, ranting and raving at your family and friends, because after all, you've got to keep the business going. And you know there's only one way to do it. You've got to be there all the time. In adolescent survival, you're consumed by the business and the possibility of losing it. And so you put everything you have into it. And for whatever reason, you manage to keep it going. Day after day, fighting the same battles in exactly the same way you did the day before. You never change. Night after night, you go home to unwind, only to wind up even tighter in anticipation of tomorrow. Finally, your business doesn't explode. You do. You're like a 12-cylinder engine working on one cylinder, pumping away, trying with everything you've got to produce 12 cylinders worth of results. But finally, and inevitably, there's nothing left. There's simply nothing more you can do except face the fact that one cylinder can't produce the results of 12, no matter how hard it tries. Something has got to give, and that something is you. Does this sound familiar? Well, if you've been in business for a while, it should. And if you haven't been in business for long, it probably will sound familiar one day. Because the tragedy is that the condition of infancy and adolescence dominates American small business. It is the condition in most of the small businesses we at eMyth Worldwide have visited over the past 26 years. A condition of rampant confusion and wasted spirits. It didn't need to happen. There is a better way.